Good morning.
Good morning.
Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 say, "When you were spiritually dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God the Father made you alive together with the Lord Jesus Christ by preordaining that you believers would be placed in union with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions." Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. "And having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he has taken the debt out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." The cross moved you from slavery and a lifestyle of law to the freedom and the sphere of grace. And because of this, we believers in Christ are filled with a joy that is inexpressible. And as we prepare for Bible study, you can ask yourself, what has God put in my life which gives me joy? The Word of God refers to Bible study as a time of renewing, a great time to let God renew your joy. God the Holy Spirit fills your deficiencies of thought with the truths of the Word of God, and he unveils to you the plan of God the Father for your life. John chapter 15, verse 11 says, "These things I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." Literally, the Lord is suggesting that he wants his joy to keep on filling the deficiencies in your joy, regardless of what circumstances might be your present reality. He has made perfect provision for our happiness. We simply choose to let his happiness pervade our lives. Welcome to a place where you can, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And as God prepares you for the renewing of your mind in this celebration of the Lord's Supper, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. As you think about all the things that give you joy, among them, the cross. The opening song is, "What Held You on the Cross."
And your love for me is what held you on the cross.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for placing your believers in a sphere of protection by the kind intention of your will, which allows us to flourish in a mistake-filled atmosphere where we get to learn by doing and not by theory. Help us to take advantage of and to enjoy all that you are teaching us in this life. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Pastor Rory Clark, and you're listening to lesson 434 of the Angelic Conflict Series. Fooled ya! The Creator-Creature Conflict Series. Welcome to a ministry that is designed for people who want to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to our guests. Kumari and Mariah Carey is in the house. So, Mariah, you read my book, and you will be saved. What'd you think? No, phenomenal. That's the correct answer. So let's try this again. Mariah, what did you think of that book? Thank you. No, here's what was phenomenal. It was phenomenal that you read it. So thank you for reading it. Now, did Kumari read it? There's not enough pictures in it? Come on, dog. Help a brother out. So you're going to read it? Okay, good. Get it out and read it. Welcome to you guys. I'm glad you're here. So today's study, the Creator's will is that you live in the sphere of His grace. The Creator's will is that you live in the sphere of His grace. Whenever grace is discussed in the Bible, it's always in the Greek discussed as a sphere. And so I don't know how many math majors there are in here, but I don't know that we really relate to what a sphere is unless we've taken math. But a sphere is a big deal. So today we're going to learn that the Creator's will is that you live in the sphere of grace, and we're going to learn what that means. But first, a few announcements, then the offering, and then we'll transition into our monthly celebration of the Lord's Supper. So the announcements. Number one, mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is April 14th. And if I'm not mistaken, that would be one day after your pastor's birthday. Yeah, so, you know, I don't know whether you're looking for ideas about birthday presents. Cash! Cash! Or Pro V1 golf balls, whatever, you know. So anyway. The 2013 version of the gold package, absolutely. Also, no Bible class next week, March 10th. So please don't show up anywhere, not here and not at the other place. Mark your calendars. Barah Ministries radio program is on KXXT, 1010 a.m. in Phoenix on Fridays from 4:30 to 5, and then it is rebroadcast at myfamilyvaluesradio.net under Click to Listen on the left-hand side of the webpage. Scroll down to G, and the program is called God Cares for You. And this week's lesson in our evangelistic radio ministry is God is Love. And that should have been the first lesson that I taught as a pastor. So please tune into that. Now, I don't know, is it on the website yet? So it's up, the notes are up, and my fault for not getting it up sooner. But it's there, so the lessons and notes are available. Mark your calendars. Homecoming for the soon-to-be resident congregation is June 15th and 16th. And we're suggesting to the soon-to-be resident congregation that you come in on Thursday night if you can, so we can have some recreation time on Friday, June 14th. There is nothing formal scheduled on the 14th, but I just want to make myself available to those of you who want to come in early. And if you want to do something fun, that's great. The Diamondbacks are not in town, so no baseball, unfortunately, but there's plenty else to do in Phoenix. And I'll do the same on Monday. I'll make myself available the Monday following if you choose to stay over, and we'll have registration available on the website by the end of the month. I'm holding that up, but we'll get that done. Mark your calendars. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho Bible Conference is confirmed. for August 9th, and we will have registration available on the website by the end of the month so that we can know how many rooms our friends up in Coeur d'Alene, John and Monica Miller, need to reserve on our behalf. Mark your calendars for these days of no Bible study. One has been added. They are March 10th, which is next week, April 21st, June 30th, September 1st has been added. I have a wedding to do for Joe Shea and Charlotte Capaldo over in San Francisco. Yay. Wow, it just kind of came up, right? Yeah, I think they've been conspiring and working on it for a while, but I'm really looking forward to that. December 8th and December 29th also. Happy birthdays. Alex Leary's birthday is today. She's 21 years old over in San Diego. We, of course, call her Boots. Everybody's saying Boots. Dorothy McConnell's birthday is mañana. Now she's looking at me with a face. Don't tell them how old I am, you bum. Right? Is that right? Yeah, she's giving me the thing. Happy birthday to Nathan Murphy. That'll be on March 10th. Also, congratulations to Nathan Murphy. He won the International Radio and Television Society Scholarship in New York City. So he's going to be going to New York in the summer and being totally devastated by what it's like to be in New York. So that'll be real good for him. You know, I'm from Chicago, and Chicago is allegedly the second city until you go to New York and you find out that Chicago is Topeka, Kansas, with bigger buildings. There's nothing quite as fast as New York. Congratulations to Jennifer Brumbach and East Valley Medical College. It's a school. So, yeah, and don't hug her. She's not a hugger. They have a no-hugger alert. But I'll tell you what, congratulations, is serious congratulations to Jenny, because very seldom do you walk into the Valley of the Sun and get a medical school approved that quickly. And so we know why that happened. Mandy, congratulations to you, too. And, yeah. Do you have the enrollment filled yet, or are you slacking? Good. Happy anniversary to Ben and Rachel Johnson on March 6th. Is that right? 2 years? Three. Wow. I know. But I wrote down two when I said, I have a question here. 2 years already? Three. Wow. Yeah. So Alani is saying, yeah, it's been three. Some prayers, please. The Goldberg family. Corrine Bassis went home to be with the Lord. Jan Goldberg, his wife Lisa, that's her mom. Lindsay and Taylor, our prayers are with you and your family. Also prayers for the Mastrocola family. Francis Mastrocola went home to be with the Lord. That is Jamie's grandma, her dad Jim's mom. And she was somewhere between 95 and 98 years old. So she, the thought is that she changed the date of her birth on her birth certificate, but she lived a wonderfully long life and is now at home with her master. All right, next, let's take the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Deacon Denny Goodall, the cool deacon. The truth in the Bible is a gift from the grace of God, and we hope to reflect his gift. Barah Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. There is no charge for the Word of God at barahministries.com. Our website allows anyone, anywhere, to receive absolute truth extracted from the Bible by our gracious pastor. Gratitude for this grace gift inspires believers to give of their time, talent, and treasure. And pastor has said that the Lord always puts the worst of us up front. I think this thought has been proven true by the deacons. Especially Deacon, well, we all know who I'm talking about. But seriously, we have a great team here, and I love these guys and gals. Their consistent hard work shows me their willingness to do whatever is necessary to help this ministry. And now with the removal of Rebound, one thing has been made very clear to me. When you want to do something, you don't make excuses. But when you don't want to do something, you will make any excuse possible to get off the hook. For instance, the deacons continually turn down invitations to parties, sporting events, and concerts on Saturdays because we care about this ministry. And think about Pastor. He loves this congregation with all of his heart and would never make an excuse to sidestep his responsibilities as our shepherd. He has one concern, which is for us to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he won't let any excuse get in his way. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 reminds us, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his internal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made, so that they are without excuse." We all make excuses in our lives. The finals are not for another week, so studying can wait. My boss is a jerk, so I'm not going to do what he says. He corrected Pastor Seam's theme, so I'm not going to listen to him anymore. They're all sinners, so I'm not going to volunteer to die a substitutionary spiritual death on the cross. Well, that last one's not true. The Lord Jesus Christ faced the worst possible trials and tribulations, but never once looked for an excuse to evade God the Father's plan. Our gracious God extended us tremendous courtesy, the very same courtesy we extended to our previous pastors. We need to avoid making mistakes about our spiritual lives by extending this ministry and our pastor the very same courtesy that the Lord Jesus Christ extended to us. So call to mind 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. "So each must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Give because you want to, and leave the excuses to those who think they know Greek better than our pastor." So let me end in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us an eternal relationship with your Son. Thank you for letting us be deceived so we're reminded consistently that you're in control. I pray that you help us to see how deeply you truly love us. And I pray that you help those struggling with the removal of Rebound to not be stuck in the past. I pray this through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Welcome back. So one announcement that I failed to make. One of the things that has been happening in Barah Ministries is that people have been taking on the initiative to do fundraisers that are fun for everybody, but also the proceeds of which are given to Barah Ministries, and that has helped us cover our radio program and some other programs that we do. So there's one coming up that's organized by the ladies, and it's called Ladies Bunko Night. Now, do you guys know what bunko is? Do you? What is it, Cheryl? Tell me. Give me a little cliff note of it. It's a dice game? Awesome. So it sounds like fun. So it's been described as ladies getting together, having wine, and laughing loud. But it sounds like a lot of fun. And Rachel and Mandy are organizing a bunko night for March 29th at 7 p.m. So if you're interested in that, they need 12 players, and the proceeds will be donated to Barah Ministries. And so if you'd like to participate in that, please do, and Mandy will have a sign-up sheet available on the break and after. And if you'd like to have some fun while doing something really cool, I heartily recommend that you do. Mike Embry has done a similar thing with golf tournaments. And it's been a lot of fun to just get together on an informal basis. And by the way, is that ladies only, the bunko party? Oh, yeah, so it says ladies bunko night. Yeah, so because I would crash that, you know. But, okay. Yeah, we'll have to do something else like golf. But anyway, so that's there. And please, if that's something that would be fun for you, please join it. All right, so today's study, the Creator's will is that you live in the sphere of His grace. So let's prepare for the Lord's Supper celebration. The Lord's Supper is a table of fellowship designed by God for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a ritual reenactment of a portion of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Passover celebration. It is a commemoration of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. Excuse me, it is a chance to bring to our consciousness, if only for a moment, how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. And we are commanded, this do in remembrance of me. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we look back at the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this, He Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore our sins in His own body, in His own true humanity, on the cross, so that we might die to the sovereignty of the sin nature, and so that we might live to righteousness. That means live within its sphere, for by His wounds you were healed. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, while we were still helpless, while we were unbelievers, at the right time, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. He did not die for the righteous ones. He died for the unrighteous ones. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God the Father demonstrates His own unconditional love toward all mankind, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were at our worst, while we were unbelievers, the Lord Jesus Christ died as a sin substitute for us. So when we look back to our Savior hanging from that cross, we are blinded to all that it took for Him to save us. A love unconditional, a giving sacrifice, and an unimaginable forgiveness. For this perfect payment on our behalf, a payment totally acceptable to God the Father, there are no words. God loves His believers in Christ. And as we look back at the cross, the Lord wants us to remember that He loves us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, the one who does not love unconditionally does not know God, because God is unconditional love. The Lord's Supper is a chance for us to remember, if only for a moment, the wonderful, amazing, magnificent, and beyond belief things the Lord Jesus Christ did for all mankind at the cross, even while we were his enemies. Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says this, "But to the one who does not work, but believes in the Lord Jesus Christ who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness." To the one who does not work, but believes, faith, his faith is credited as absolute righteousness. We have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by choice. We are in union with him by a single decision, using the free gift of free will freely given to us by a gracious God to express faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look forward every month to a pause in our study for this most intense prayer and worship. The Lord's Supper is a chance for the body of Christ, his royal family, to be unified in spirit. Let me repeat that. The Lord's Supper is a chance for the body of Christ, the body of Christ, his royal family, to be unified in spirit. And in the Corinthian church, there was an issue of unity. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. In the Corinthian church, there was an issue concerning unity. In other words, there was a division in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. And we'll read down to verse 22. Here's what it says. It says, "But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this, I will not praise you." See, the problem in the Corinthian church at this time is the thing that made Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner, that is, in a state of disunity, shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ." Now, you remember what we used to say about that verse? That the unworthy manner was because we hadn't rebounded? You remember that? So somebody asked me to cover this, and here's the thing. When you start zooming out, and when you start looking at the context of the letter, and it would be a good idea for you to go back and read 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 Corinthians 11, and you'll start to see what the problems are that Paul is addressing in this church. But this one, specifically related to the Lord's Supper. People were coming to the Lord's Supper, and something that was designed for unity, they were operating as individuals. They were drunk, they were eating their dinner before the other ones, and they weren't cooperating. That's what an unworthy manner is. Unworthy manner is taking in the Lord's Supper in a state of disunity, not taking in the Lord's Supper without a rebound. 1 Corinthians 11, 30 and 31 is where we continue. Take a look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 30 and 31. Here's what that says. "For this reason, disunity, many of you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." See, God deals with disunity. "But if we evaluated ourselves rightly in the matter of division," second class condition if and it's false, if and we don't, If we evaluated ourselves rightly in the matter of division, unfortunately we don't, we would not be disciplined. When we do something in an unworthy manner, the Lord disciplines us, and that discipline could carry a light sentence or all the way up to the severest sentence, which is he just takes the believer home. 1 Corinthians 11:32 and 33, but when we are evaluated, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, unity, wait for one another. Whole different view, huh? A little different view? Kind of funny what happens when you start really studying the Bible. Well, listen, we're here to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Let us enjoy our unity, and let's do it together. So, following God's requests, we keep on celebrating Christ on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work on the cross, the sacrifice he made on our behalf, and we are thankful. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 and 23 say, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." This is Paul talking. "I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, believers, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this for the purpose of remembering me.'" When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say, "In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, representing his death on the cross, also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in the sphere of my blood in substitutionary spiritual death.' Keep on doing that. And as often as you drink it, do it for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Isn't it interesting that we as human beings celebrate our birthday, but the Lord Jesus Christ has asked us to celebrate his death day until he comes? And so when we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we eat the bread, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please enjoy the bread and the cup. And as you do, we'll listen to the Lord's Supper song. Give thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son.
Let the poor say, I am rich.
So I have a friend here in the church who is a pretender. And this person is always pretending to be something that they are not. They're always pretending to be tough when they're really a mushroom inside. Right? Probably 4'10" tops. But always roaring around like a lion, rawr, 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 always biting people's heads off, hands off, anything that gets in the way, eating nails for breakfast, spitting out the and she thinks that she's got everybody fooled, but she doesn't have me fooled because I know how to read people. And so when she had an event this week that went really well, I was one of the people that was privileged to hear about it first, and she was very excited. This person, of course, is Jenny Brumbach. Now, look, I don't know what it's like to be 4'10", right? I'm not Napoleon. You know, I'm a man of great stature. but I do know this. Jenny was so excited about the news that East Valley Medical College was a college. And here's the thing that I know behind all of her roaring, because she always says it. And she said, I know where my blessings come from. And of course, I like kind of taunting people. So I said, okay, Jenny, where do your blessings come from? And she said, I've got friends in high places. So as we take our 5-minute break, we dedicate this song to Jenny Brumbach, because it's really tough to get an approval for a medical college on the first try in Arizona. But the break song indicates that Jenny knew why it happened. And also, since Van is taking his first solo flight today, we can kill two birds with one stone, because she's got another friend who's going to be in high places. So, Jenny, this is for you, friends in high places. 5-minute break.
I've got hope when things look bad, and I can smile when I should be sad. I've got friends who lift me up when I'm feeling low. They watch over me wherever so far away. I've got hope you with them someday.
Welcome back. So we're going to close out this lesson with a continuation of our look at Romans chapter 5. Turn there if you would, please. While you're turning there, I just want to say something. As I think about being the pastor of this ministry, which I think about a lot, every one of you pretty much has let me into your life. You know, you've told me quite personal things that you don't have to tell me about yourselves, and you've let me in on some personal things, and I let you in on personal things with me, so I'm pretty much an open book, and I don't mind telling you anything about me. I just want you to understand how grateful I am for that, because a shepherd should know his sheep, and the sheep should know the shepherd, for real. I should know what you are and what you aren't, and you should know what I am and what I aren't, and I think if we didn't know those things, we wouldn't have been able to survive Rebound as well as we did. And there are people in the non-resident congregation that is true of as well. There's a lady by the name of Stacy Snow, I think it is, and she writes me letters. She's in Beach Lake, Pennsylvania. If you took all the believers in Beach Lake, Pennsylvania and put them on a basketball court, there'd probably be enough for two teams, right? And she bothered to write to let me know that she's out there and to let me know she's listening and to tell me how she feels about certain things, and that means a lot to me. And we have Beth McLaughlin over in Pennsylvania who went through a surgery recently and then is starting a business. And her husband, Dave, who went through a surgery, and I know about it. We got Tony LaGrasso in Michigan who had cancer and who about 2 weeks ago made his first trip outside of Michigan in over a year, you know, because he's afraid of germs, because when you have bone marrow cancer, you can't be around germy situations, yet he's now making a trip and getting back to work a little bit. you know. And when you know your flock like that, personally, you feel as a pastor, you know. And I want you to understand that this is not academic to me. I feel for you. You know, so we got Alani over there who's, what, 13 years old now, right? And so she's gone and aliens abducted her brain a couple months ago, 3 months ago, whatever it is, and won't be back for about 7 years. And the next 7 years of her life are going to be hell. And I see her sitting sometimes and she's just staring up into that vast wasteland of her brain, wondering why there's a space up there. It's like there was something there before. And now it's not there, but she's going to get herself in trouble at a point in the next 7 years, and she's going to call me. Because she's going to know that no matter where she is and no matter what time it is, I'm going to come and get her. And then she's got me and her parents in her corner and our deacons in her corner. And that matters. That's what we're talking about when we talk about unity. That matters. And, I mean, I could go on and on about the people that I have the personal contacts with. That matters. This is not an impersonal thing that we're doing here. This is real. And when you're at your worst, that's when I'm going to be closest to you. And I expect the same in return, and whether you give it or not, that's fine. But that's what you can count on from me. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. And I want you deacons to know how much I appreciate you and how much you've changed as leaders in a very short period of time. And you don't know I know it, but I hear it in your voices. I hear it in your thoughts. You've got a hell of a leadership team. And this thing that we're assembling here is amazing. And I don't want you to miss it. This is amazing. There's some amazing people that God has brought together and assembled onto a chessboard of the Christian way of life, and it's beautiful. So I want you to know how much I appreciate that. All right, let's continue. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. In the last Lord's Supper, I asked you a question. The question for reflection was this: do you have peace with God? We looked at Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and it says, therefore, having been justified, it says, therefore, oh, yuck. I'm going to have to read it to you. That's a mess. Therefore, having been, here's my commitment to you. This week, I am going to uninstall Microsoft Office and install it again because I'm about sick of this PowerPoint problem. So Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by means of faith. What does it mean to be justified by means of faith? It means at the moment of salvation, God, in a legal setting, declared you to be a person who is now living in the sphere of absolute righteousness. What does that mean? It means that he is looking at you and all he sees is the same thing he sees when he looks at Christ. Perfection. It's called positional sanctification. Therefore, having been justified by means of faith, by being legally declared by God to be in the sphere of God's absolute righteousness, in the past, as an established fact, we believers in Christ right now, as an established fact, have peace. Eirene, the Greek word for peace, with God, the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the answer to the question, do you have peace with God, is yes. That's what we talked about in the last Lord's Supper. The Bible says that believers in union with Christ have peace with God the Father. So when we look back to the cross, we must see God's peace with the eyes of our soul, even in the midst of the suffering we might be currently experiencing. Peace is a matter of realization. When we realize in our souls the established fact of what has been done for us in the past, at the cross, we can rest in it. When we are not at peace, we are anxious. Anxiousness is unbelief. It is you rejecting the truth of what God's word has to say, and God's word has to say that you, as a believer in Christ, have peace. In this Lord's Supper, I ask you another question. Do you live in the sphere of God's grace? Do you live in the sphere of God's grace? What does that mean? Romans 5:2 tells you what it means. The Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also, additionally, we have obtained our access by our faith in the past, again, already established fact, that we attain our access by faith in the past into the sphere of grace in which we stand right now. And we exult with inward confidence in the future hope of the confident expectation of the glory of God. You see, if you look at those two verses together, we have a past, we have a present, we have a future. We have a past peace, we have a present grace, we have a future glory, awesome. Amazing. Something that you never thought was possible for you. God gave it to you as a free gift. What is grace? This was the tearful yesterday. What is grace? Grace is God's policy toward mankind in that you didn't earn it and you didn't deserve it, but you get it anyway. Are you serious? That's what we thought grace was. We didn't earn it or we didn't deserve it, but we get it anyway. That's not what grace is. Here's what grace is. Grace is a free gift given to whosoever, all mankind, by the Creator, expressed by his actions of extending mercy, loving kindness, salvation, and divine assets to his creatures. A dimension of divine thought in which God meets human indifference and rebellion with an inexhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless. A divine thought process that underlies God's entire viewpoint toward his creatures.
Amen.
Right? Right? That there is never a time when God is thinking about you where he isn't absolutely thinking grace. Grace is his thought, his motivation, his decision, and his action. Love is his thought, motivation, decision, and action toward you every time, no matter what you're doing. He has an inexhaustible capacity to forgive you and then to bless you more right afterwards. God's grace makes it clear that he is totally for us, never against us. Amen?
Amen?
Now, grace is described as a sphere. What is a sphere? Oh, you thought that was the Epcot Center, didn't you? No, that is the geodesic dome. Do you know where I went to graduate school? Yes, that's right. I am a Saluki. I just thought of what a Saluki is. I cannot share that publicly, but if you'd like to know privately what a Saluki is. But it's an Egyptian dog. Looks like a greyhound, but with really long, floppy ears. I am a Saluki. And the school has a lot of claims to fame, but one of them is a guy by the name of Buckminster Fuller, who discovered that the strongest structure in the world is a triangle. And that if a series of triangles were formed into a sphere, they would give you, under that surface area, the most area that you could have in a single place. And that is the geodesic dome. It is a series of triangles that form a sphere, and in that sphere, there is nothing but the most possible space that you could have in a space. Grace is a sphere. Just like a geodesic dome. It is a playground of freedom in which we are free to learn, to grow, to make mistakes, knowing that God accepts us, that God loves us unconditionally, that God forgives us, and that God wants to give us everything over and over and over and over again, but especially right after you are at your worst. You don't know anybody like that. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself means make love to the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What are you doing right now? You're making love to the Lord by listening to his word. And what will he do in return? He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord. What does that mean? All in. Trust in him. And what? He will do it. Psst. You feeling weak right now?
Yeah.
Get behind me. Watch. And I will do it. His strength is perfect when your strength is gone. You think you can't do it. He knows he can do it for you. Amen? When we look to the past, and see, by the way, that's why you have all these situations in your life that suck. Do you get that? I mean, think about your life. Your life, no, I'm not going to say that. No, think about your life. Think about every one of us has got some situation right now which we think sucks, right? And what is God saying? I'm so happy that you have that situation. Because what I want you to do is shut up and get behind me and watch me do it. You're facing that big mountain, that big thing that you don't think can be done. Get behind me and watch, and I'm going to do it. And you'll know it's me and not you because you felt powerless to it. Amen? So when we look to the past, we have the hope of peace. See, here it is, Psalm 37:6. He will bring forth your righteousness that he gave to you. That's a gift that he gave to you at the moment of salvation. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. He will make it clear to you what the path is and you just walk it. We look at the past. We have the hope of peace. When we look to the present, we have the hope of grace. When we look to the future, we have the hope of glory. I don't believe you heard me, so I'm going to repeat it. We look to the past, we have the hope of peace. We are no longer, as believers in Christ, in a fight with God. When we look to the present, we have the hope of grace. When we look to the future, we have the hope of glory. That's what it says in Romans 5:2, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, additionally, we have obtained our access by our faith in the past into the geodesic dome of grace in which we stand right now, and we exult with inward confidence in the future, hope, absolute confidence, elpis in the Greek, the confident expectation of the glory of Christ. What does that mean? Glory of God. What does that mean? He's going to glorify you. You are going to reflect the essence of God in the future. Every one of you, your opinion about yourself does not matter. His opinion of you matters, and what he's going to do for you matters. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 says this, when Christ, who is our Zoe life, the resurrection life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Why? You're in union with Christ. At the moment of salvation, God the Holy Spirit, by the baptism of the Spirit, places you into union with Christ, and everything Christ has, you have. So when he is revealed in glory, what does that mean for you? Amazing. You're a great student. I bet you you had a great father and a great pastor. So we thank God the Father for being our eminently existing one. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the cross. And we thank God the Holy Spirit for his guidance. Closing song. Let's hear about the great I am. The eminently existing one.
The Word was with God.
great I am. And he says, I am the living bread. I am the light. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the light. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the Son of God. John the Baptist waited for.
I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope.
I'm going to blow this thing up. I've said that before, haven't I? You don't believe me now.
So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you, not a him who is able to keep you from stumbling, make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for loving us. Open our eyes to your love. Open our souls to your love. Open our strength to your love. Open our spirit to your love. Help us to experience your grace on a moment-by-moment basis. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.